We are Mike and Cindy Perry. We had the privilege of coming up here yesterday and actually participating with the church cleanup. And man, it was great to see so many people here and active and doing things to here to help the church. And we appreciate Brother Zach and Pastor Zach and Miss Amanda for putting us up and letting us come here and present with you guys. So this morning, we want to do a couple of things. We want to show you our ministry and kind of give you a little idea about us. So if you go to the next slide, we work for Global Impact Ministries, as Zach has already said, and this is our team. So kind of in the upper left there, you'll see he's our director. His name's Rick Groover and his wife, Tracy, and she's our secretary treasurer. And there in the center, you'll see me and Cindy. Me and Cindy, I'm the assistant director, and Cindy is over media and partner relations. And then we have another guy working out of our Montgomery office there on the top right. His name's Tommy Gohagan. He's our kind of our project assistant. And then down in the bottom left, you'll see a guy. He's kind of dressed, that family's kind of dressed a little colorful. They are in Africa. That's the Loco family. Loco, like in Spanish, means crazy. And he's a crazy guy. He's a really good guy. But his name is Koku Loco, and he's in Togo, so he's our West Africa director. In the center, you'll see Stanley and Janet Onyutha, and they are in Uganda, and he's our East Africa director. And then the bottom right is Julius and Rose, and I can't even pronounce.
Nesmaweer.
Nesmaweer. And they also are working with Global Impact in Uganda as well. So next slide. I want to start by giving a little word of testimony. So it's always important when someone's speaking to you, especially in a church, that you kind of know who they are. And the first thing you need to know is, hey, is this guy, does he know the Lord? So, yes, I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm saved. Trusted Christ as my Savior at age 26. Wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm impressed that God's even in the North. So in New York, we're up here. It's great. We have really loved being here. But when we got married, we moved to South Carolina, lived there for most of our adult life, raised our children there, and became very active in the church. So I've been working in the church as a teacher, as a deacon, and in the sound. You know, always give a shout out to the sound guy because they never get any credit, but doing a good job. And God's blessed us, blessed our family. I want to let Cindy give you her testimony real quick. Next slide. Yeah.
Okay. I was blessed to be able to grow up in a Christian home, so that was such a wonderful thing to never take for granted. But like many of you, made a profession of faith at 7 because they said all the kids that want to come back here for something special, you raise your hand and you go. But at the age of 16, God brought me into a relationship with Him, and I know Him now personally as my Savior, and He walks with me every day. Part of my testimony is, as Zach mentioned, I am a cancer survivor, and that was a really pivotal time for us, even in our spiritual walk, because it's there where I began a platform of using, and not just using, but accepting and embracing our circumstances and our hard times, knowing that God doesn't leave you in those hard times. It draws you closer, and He has a purpose for your path. No matter what you're walking in, down the road, you're able to help other people who go through what you've gone through. And it was just such a blessing. And I know that sounds crazy, but it was a blessing to have cancer and to have walked that walk with my Savior through that. Before we left South Carolina, I was the founder and director of a mentor program. We worked closely pairing partners within the community to children in the schools. And when I left, we had 500 mentors meeting in 38 schools, one-on-one with children. And it was a tremendous thing. I said, I will never leave this job. I was created for this. But God has a way of saying, this is what you want, but it's really just a part of plan for what I want. So our story really began in 2019 when God just had us in a place. We were very comfortable. That April, our last child was getting married. We were going to be empty nesters, so we start that proverbial rocking chair planning, you know, what life's looking like. Mike was the general manager of an international manufacturing company, so we made a really good income. had not a care in the world, involved with our church, just living the American dream. God was so good to us at that point. And he begins, when he has a plan for you and you're comfortable in yourself and self-sufficiency, to kind of stir that nest up and bring you into uncomfort. So at the beginning of 2019 in February, Mike actually had a stroke. He had an ocular stroke. His vision did this, both directions, to seeing two of everything, vertically and horizontally. It became very debilitating, and we struggled with this, and we saw specialists, and they're working to try to understand why and what can we do. And then our daughter getting married in April, in the beginning of April, he had a second stroke. His vision now was more. And so the job I said I would never leave, I remembered my commitment to God, standing before him to be by this man's side in sickness and in health. So I left my job to care for him and help him through. So then we spent the next few months trying to accept the doctor telling us, you will always have double vision out here. We might be able to correct some of this, but you're always going to be double vision. You'll always have that. It's just something to live with. He couldn't drive, things like that. It just became debilitating. So we began to just pray and trust God that this is our, we want healing, God, we do, but if it's not your will, help us with grace and mercy to understand what you have for us. One day that summer in July of 2019, Mike woke up one morning and was very quiet, and he just went to be alone. He comes back and he said, I'm almost afraid to say this, but I can see normal. So God be the glory, in one day he healed my husband like that. And what that did is started to squeeze that heart, because when God does a miracle for you, like this little baby that you guys, Wyatt, when God does something, you just want to give everything to him. And so we started to search, God, you want something. What can we do? What would you have us to do? And Mike just really felt like God is speaking something to me, and I don't know what it is. So we began to pray, and we prayed hard in July and August and September and October. No answers, but still that just pulling that God had something for us. And in October, Mike came home one day, because he can drive again now. He comes home from work, and he said, God gave me an answer today. I said, well, praise the Lord. We've been praying. So what is that answer? He said, are you ready for this? He said, I mean, I'm just clear as anything on it. I said, okay, great. What is it? He said, I'm going to quit my job. I kind of just did that. So, you know, we both, you know, he said, I said, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, go a different direction? Are you going to, he said, I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to quit my job. Now, this was the man who is the highest position in North America for his industry. And I'm like, okay. He said, God's told me to do it. I'm going to do it. I said, okay, I'm behind you. If you trust God that much, I'm with you. We're going to do this. He tells his boss. Boss thought he was loco. He said, you know, I think you've had a breakdown. I will give you 4 months off with pay just to think about it and get your life together. And he said, no, because that's back to leaning on self. He said, God's got something. He will not leave me or forsake me in this. So he finished to the end of the year in 19 because he was building a plant. So he finished and saw that out. And God started to open a door. We still didn't know what he wanted from us or what we were going to do. We're just now going to be unemployed. And in December, Rick Groover, who had been friends of ours for a while, just in talking with us, called and he said, you know, we've really been praying for a couple to join us in the ministry, in the mission work we're doing. And of course, the, you know, normal people we are, we said, well, that's great, brother. We'll help you pray about that. God will send you somebody. And that's where the door, he started to deal with our hearts. And January 24th of 2020, we said, we're going to do this. And we surrendered to become full-time missionaries. And we immediately sold our house. We were going to move to Alabama, where the mission board headquarters is, and we're just going to go gung-ho, and we're going to go start raising support. Now, let me wind you back to the date. What was that? January, March, April, March of 2020, what happened? Yes, COVID, right? So now we're like, okay, God, now we don't have a home anymore. We have nowhere to go. We can't go raise support. What are we going to do? But I can just tell you, looking back, I can't give you all the details, but it's just been amazing that God has been Jehovah Jireh, provider for us along the way in every step. And we're so blessed to be on this journey with Him. The last 2.5 years have been amazing. We've watched God provide for us day by day. So we were living for self and realizing these are temporal things. These are things of the earth. But we now want to commit every bit of our lives, every breath we have, every piece of passion within us to serve God for something that's not temporal, that is eternal, that is going to last for Him in glory and reaching souls and seeing people saved. And we just ask your prayers with that. And Mike's going to tell you about ministry, and then I'll have one more thing for you.
Okay, next slide. We've already gone through this. Next slide. So let me tell you a little bit about our ministry. And Cindy's right. Do y'all believe God will take care of you? Amen. Do you believe He'll take care of you through the good and the bad? We're living proof. And we stepped out on faith, and it's hard. It's not easy. When people say, I stepped out on faith, it's hard to do that. We literally sold our house, quit our jobs, we're down to nothing, and said, God, use us. And He did. This is a hospital. It's called Grace Hospital. It's in Togo. And you saw the missionary, he's Brother Loco, and his dream was, and he, it's funny, Rick, our director, has lost his vision. He's legally blind. Brother Loco has lost vision in one of his eyes. And then I came in, and I had this problem with my eyes. So it's an eye theme here. And he built this hospital, and one of his heart's desires is to have an eye center there. So this is step one. We would think of it as an urgent care center, but they have literally nothing. Nothing. We have doctors from America that come in there and do clinics, and when the doctors leave, there's no medical. So now this will be a medical center that's there 24/7, 365 days a year. And the thing about this, it's run by a Christian missionary, and that every patient that comes through will be presented a clear plan of the gospel. And they're predicting there's going to be 100 patients per day. So you can just do the math. When God brings you 100 people a day to preach to, how about that? You know, in Sunday school, we talked about trying to share our faith and how we do that. God is allowing us to do that, and He's bringing the people to us. They're coming there with a physical need, not knowing that their spiritual need is even much bigger. And so they're going to be shared the gospel, given Bibles. Next slide. What we do with Global Impact is we fund this. We give all of the stuff in the hospital comes from the United States. The beds you see there are beds from the United States. The hospital equipment that's there is from the United States. We just shipped a container last week from Montgomery going to this hospital full of medical equipment and supplies. And so they're absolutely ecstatic and can't wait to open this hospital. Okay, next slide. Then in Uganda, you saw that Stanley and Janet Onyutha there. There's our picture of our school. That top right is Google Earth. You can actually Google Earth check this. If you go on and put in Nebbi Primary School in Uganda, that's what you would see. There's 400 children there in the school. And unlike the United States, there, when COVID hit, they just closed the schools. There's no internet in the country. It's a third world country. So the kids for 2 years just didn't go to school. No school. Can you imagine that in the United States? We just said, kids, we're going to take a 2-year break and not teach anybody. That's what they did. When they started the school back, the kids couldn't wait to get back. And within the first few months, 30 to 35 kids already accepted Christ as Savior through their chapel time through the school. The great thing about this school is it's perpetual. Again, God's bringing the children to us to preach to and to teach about Jesus. Think about those 400 kids. When they leave, there's 400 more right behind them. And so it's a never-ending thing where these people will be taught the gospel. Next slide. So the school there is a primary school. It's through 7th grade. And so now we have got the funds to build a secondary school. And this slide says we need $45,000. Well, on the trip here, phew, that's how God works. We're driving. We're almost to West Virginia, and a man calls me, and he says, "Hey, I'm meeting with our board, and we're talking about this school." He said, "We want to give you that money." I was like, "Whew." So we pulled over into the welcome center. We needed internet. So we go in there and say, "Hey, can we use your internet?" The lady says, "Sure." So I send him information on that. 30 minutes later, Rick calls me. He's all excited. "Guess what happened?" I said, "I bet I know." They paid for the school. So just like that. Then, that's how God works. We're traveling the same day. Another guy calls me, and he says, "Hey, I know y'all are trying to do something. I'll show you in just a minute." He said, "Y'all need a forklift, don't you?" And I said, "We do." He said, "We're going to buy you a forklift." Now, you may know what a forklift costs. It's about $25,000. He said, "We're going to give you $25,000 and buy you a forklift." And I'm like, "Phew." So I said, "We need to go to New York more often." Next slide. This is our mission center that God gave us. And again, there's another miracle behind this. Listen, God's in control. This building we've been praying about. We went and looked at a dozen buildings, and they were basically all junk. And we were so discouraged. And we were thinking, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And we were working with a realtor, and her husband was playing golf. Okay? He's playing golf, and a guy he's playing golf with says, out of the blue, says, "Hey, I've got a building I'm trying to sell. You know anybody who wants to buy it?" And he says, "Well, tell me about it." So he tells him about the building. He says, "I think I do." She calls us. We go look at it. It's exactly what we'd asked the Lord for. Exactly. We tell the guy, we say, "This is what we do. We're a ministry. We work with humanitarian aid, and we spread the gospel." He said, "Man, that is great. I tell you what, I'm going to drop the price." I said, "You're going to drop the price?" He says, "Yeah, I'm going to drop the price." And then he says, "Well, how y'all going to pay for this?" You know how much money we had at that time? Well, we had a little bit.
$26,000.
Yeah, we had $20,000 to buy this building. It's a $400,000 building. And he says, "Well, how are you going to pay for it?" We said, "God's going to give us some money." He says, "Well, when's he going to do that?" You know, we said, "Give us 90 days. Okay, in this market, you know, you put something on the market, I know down in the South, it goes the next day." He says, "Okay, I'll give you 90 days. In 90 days, God gave us every penny to buy that thing. We bought the thing with the title in hand. Whew. Next slide. One thing we want to start is called disaster relief. Where we live in the South, there's a lot of tornadoes, there's hurricanes, there's things like that. And so we want to help those people that are affected. And we want to go in into an area and then partner with a local church. So let's say a tornado came through this area and we partnered with Brunswick Baptist Church. We would bring crews here to come and help in the area, cutting down trees, clearing property, doing that kind of thing. But then the church, you guys, would partner with us and minister to the people, because the people here, they're your people. And we would make sure we set that up so that we're meeting their needs that way, spiritually as well. And then once we leave, they're hooked into your church. And that's what we want to do with our disaster relief program. And you see on the top up there, the forklift, $25,000. So we can mark that off. Somebody's already bought that for us. So next slide. These are some things and some ways you can help us for disaster relief. We need things. Think about if a tornado came and tore up your house, what would you need? What would you need immediately? There's things that you could help with us with supplies with it immediately. You know, tarps and cleaning supplies and hygiene things and baby supplies, whatever like that. So a church like this could give us those things, and we have a warehouse. We could store those, and when a disaster happens, we're ready, and we can go out and help those people. Rather than a tornado comes, and then we go, "Hey, Brother Zach, can y'all help us?" And he's like, "Well, we're not prepared at the moment." We want to prepare ahead of time so that when something happens, we can go. Next slide. And then God put us, there's a overhead shot taken with their drone of our building, and the property right beside it is vacant. And so God saw fit not only to give us a building, not only pay for it, we feel like he's going to give us that property beside it, because it has grown so quickly. Our ministry has grown so quickly. We need another building already. And so we're praying that the listing price is $71,000 for the lot right beside it. And so we're praying that God would help us with that as well. Next slide. So we're trying to make a difference, but we need help. We need help in churches. We need help with individuals. We need help with people with skill sets. You know, when we do disaster relief, we need carpenters. We need people who can do that kind of thing as well. So, but everything we do is to spread the gospel. It's to get the good news out. We're using humanitarian aid as a vehicle, as a tool, to go out and to meet people's needs and show them the love of Christ, and then we want to share the gospel to them. Share the love. Sydney's got one other announcement.
We have a couple things we say down at Global Impact. One of them is every time things like this happen, sounds like God to me. And so we have, and the other thing is he is on the move. And honestly, we have just been like this for the last year, really, just trying to keep up with him. And what a great place to be, right? Trying to keep up with God. When you go out, if you'll step by our table, we do have our prayer card. We need this more than anything else in the world, as people, just to pray for us and lift us up to our Father. I do want to tell you about, we have Amazon Smile cards. Do y'all do Amazon Smile here? Okay, so y'all have it connected in with your church? Okay. There is nonprofits that Amazon Smile will do, and we have our little link on the back. It's the same Amazon that you know as Amazon, but if you go and order through that link, we get a percentage of, Amazon has a foundation, and they will give us a percentage of whatever you purchase. So I've just linked that in on my bookmark, and I don't even think about it, and it's just there, and funds come back to Global Impact. And then the last thing, we really would like for you guys to sign up for our newsletter. We have hashtagged our story for his glory, and that is what we're doing. We are walking for the Lord's glory, and we would love to connect with you. So if you want to just follow, we send out a quarterly newsletter, and then you can put your email address, and we do have prayer requests we'll put out sometimes or whatever, but we'd love to connect with you guys. We appreciate the opportunity that Zach and Amanda provided for us to come here and speak with y'all and to get to know your people. You have an awesome, awesome church. We loved getting to know everybody yesterday, and we look forward to partnering with you and just connecting with you. Thank y'all.
All right, I know we're running long here, but I do want to share something with you in your Bible. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning, for just a minute, and I'll truncate this even, but it's important that I hope Sydney and I have shown y'all something that there's a thing called faith. If you know the Lord, you have saving faith. You've put your faith in what he's done on the cross. But God wants us to live out our faith. He wants us to live out our faith. And so the title of this message is called Living by Faith. And it's in the basis of it is in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the first three verses and then pray. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, I take it that no one in here has ever seen God face to face. I take it that no one in here has ever had a conversation where God was speaking audibly. Now, God speaks to us, speaks to our hearts, but more than likely, there was not a time when God said, "Hey, Mike, this is exactly what I want you to do." We live by this thing called faith. And faith, there's a few things about faith that I want you to understand. I got four truths about faith. The number one truth is found in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. So go down to verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." Talking about God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first truth about faith is important to God. It's so important to God that we can't please God without it. Think about that. You could live your life in a way, in such a way that you never exercise your faith, and you're not going to please God. Your children, I look at Dane, watching them interact. He wants to please his mom and daddy. Look what I can do. Let me show you this. Then his mama tells him to do something, and he goes and does it. Then he's like, did that make you happy? He wants to please his parents. We should want to please our Heavenly Father. You know, faith is important to God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. We only get salvation. We're only grafted into the family of God through faith. Faith is important to God. So why do we not exercise our faith like God wants us to do? Why? Think about what we Christians, even today in the world, what do we want to do? We want to control everything. We want control of our lives. And that's exactly, I mean, that's where we were living. I mean, I was saved, but I felt like through my job, through my income, through my whatever I did, I controlled what was going on in my life. And guess what? I don't. He showed me that. I could do all that, but I lost my vision. Think about it. All the money, all the power in the world is not going to keep you from getting cancer. Really? God's in control. He wants us to trust in him. Faith is important to God, number one. Number two, look down, same chapter, go to verse 29. This is talking about Moses and talking about the children of Israel. In this whole chapter, there's all these pillars of faith, these men and women who were great faith people in the Bible. This is Moses. Verse 29, chapter 11 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Now it says they passed by faith on dry ground. If you go out here to the Hudson River, and you say, I'm going to walk across it on dry ground, it takes some faith to do that, because in our minds, that ain't going to happen. These people went across the Red Sea on dry ground. It took faith for them to actually do something. And who was leading them? Moses. So Moses, what if Moses, when God called him, Moses said, that sounds pretty hard, God. I don't think I want to do that. And he didn't obey the Lord. But he did obey, didn't he? When God told him, remember at first, what did Moses say? He came up with these things and said, I'm really not a good speaker. He's trying to make excuses. It's kind of like the Sunday school lesson this morning. You can't just say, because I'm not a good speaker, I'm not going to share Christ. He was like, who are they going to say? Who am I? Who are they going to say sent me? All these things, he was saying, all these excuses. But God said, you're the one. And Moses obeyed. And when he took that step of faith, saying, okay, God, I'm going to do these things that I know I can't do in my power. I'm going to do them because you say I can. He took that step. And God made it happen. Exodus 14 says, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. Talking about the Egyptians are going to follow after the children of God into the water. He says, and I'll be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. He said, and they did so. And then he says, and Israel saw the great work the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. But all because Moses was obedient. So, number one, faith is important. Number two, faith requires obedience. We have three children. Our middle son, Kyle, when he was a little kid, I mean, he was a daredevil. We took him to the ER 8 or 9 times because he was always getting hurt. But he had faith in certain things. And I wish I had this, but when he was a little kid, and your kids may have done this, I'm in the pool. He's like Dane size. Imagine Dane doing this. And so I'm in the pool, and I'm saying, jump, buddy, jump. Now, I'm sure Zach's done the same thing. And so Kyle sits there, and he's got his little swimmies on his arms. You know, he's cute as a bee. And he's sitting there, and he's like, he's looking. And all of a sudden, he just takes off and jumps. I mean, swan dives. Because what am I? I'm telling him, I'll catch you. And he jumps, and what do? I'll catch him. And he's like, whoa, that's fun. Then he's up there on the side, and I'm not paying attention. He's like, Dad, and I turn, he's already jumping. Because he has faith, he's trusting that I'm going to be there and catch him. Look, this is a kid. He's trusting in this old center to catch him. We got to... We got a Heavenly Father, the creator of everything. He'll catch you. When you step, he's there. He'll catch you. He says he will. Number two, faith requires obedience. Number three, our faith is a powerful witness. Number three, think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's an amazing story. Y'all know the story, right? These three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar makes this golden image and says everybody's got to bow down when they hear the music and pray. And they say, no, we're not going to do that. We trust in our Lord. We have faith in our Lord, the living God. So then Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't, you're thrown into the furnace. If anybody's ever been burnt, that's a hard thing. That hurts. He got mad. Guess what he does? He stokes the fire even more. Then he takes those three Hebrew kids because they won't bow down, and he throws them into the furnace. What happens? We know the story, right? He says, I was looking. Didn't we throw three in the fire? Now there's four. And the fourth one, he looks like the Son of God. Because of their faith, God took care of them in the fire. So much so, when they came out, they had no singed hair. They didn't even smell like smoke. God took care of them. Let me read you something from Daniel. This is the amazing part to me. In Daniel chapter 3, 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king spake and said, this is after he saw all this. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Their faith was a witness to a lost king so much that he changed his word. And then he goes on and he says, I make a decree. He says, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Their faithfulness was such a witness that it changed this king's mind. And then he says, anybody who's against these guys, God, I'm going to do this to. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? That's our God. Your faithfulness is a tremendous witness to others. When people see you go through trials and exhibit faith, it's a tremendous witness to others. And then the fourth thing is faith requires humility. And I think this is the biggest problem we have, because we're not a humble people by nature. It's hard to humble yourself. It's hard because you want control. I wanted control. I was at a point in my career where if my grown children were in need, I could give them what they needed. If they needed, Dad, we're in a financial bind and we need this money, I could say, okay, I'll take care of that for you. And I felt like that was good. I felt like I was in control of that, but I'm not. God wants you and I to come to Him for those things, not to some earthly person. So He wants us to come to Him. Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called who? Who did He call to Him? A little child. He called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. And He said, "Verily I say to you, except you be converted," or saved, "and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then He says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Faith, a truth about faith is, it requires humility. We've got to come to the point where we realize we're not in control of our lives. None of us in this room are in control of your life. You could, you know, you've heard them say, you could go out here and be in a wreck and die today. You're not in control of that. But there's one who is. And if we're saved, we know that one. And that's the one we should be trusting and following in. And I'm telling you, God has gone over and above for us because we took a step. We took a step. You know, God tells us, you might know the verse that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Okay, and light is my path. Okay, think about that. If you have a lamp at your feet, what do you see besides your feet? What do you see? You don't see much, do you? If the light is at your feet, your head is down and you're looking like this. Now, I've been hiking with a flashlight. That's literally what we were doing. All I could see was the trail like this. What is it we want to know, though? God, tell me what's going to happen out here. Tell me what's going to happen next week, next month. That's what we want to know. But that's not what God says. Even His model prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Every day. We need to trust in Him every day. That's why He's saying, I'll show you your path one step at a time. And who are we walking with? We're walking with Christ the whole time. If we're looking down and we can see Jesus' feet, we're on the right path. I've got more, but I'm going to cut it off right there. Living by faith. Four truths about faith. Faith's important to God. You can't please Him without it. Faith requires obedience. Think about that. Faith provides a powerful witness, and faith requires humility. I'm going to leave you with a story. It's a faith story. Then I'll turn it over to Brother Zach. You ever had aught with someone in the church? Now, you know, nobody's going to say, yeah. But probably you have, okay? And I just want to confess, Cindy and I had aught with a couple in a church that we were in. And we tried and we tried to fix that thing. And it just never worked. And so eventually that couple left the church. And so in my mind, I was like, well, God took care of that. But that there was still tension with our families. Well, not long after he left, or they left the church, the husband was in a car wreck, in a bad car wreck, and he broke his femur and his leg, and he was out of work. He broke both of them. And he was out of work, and they had no income. And so we immediately felt terrible. And God spoke to us and said, we need to do something for them. And so Cindy and I, and we're like, God, are you serious? These people, what they've done to us, you want us to do something for them? So we gave them some money, and we did it anonymously. And we gave them the money, and I'm sure it helped. And we didn't think another thing about it because the guy recovered and everything was fine. But we just did that out of faith because God says, do it. We're obeying. And we did it. And we didn't even have the money to do it. You ever done that? You ever given when you didn't have the money? We gave and we didn't have the money. Fast forward, several years later, Cindy's diagnosed with breast cancer. And then the shoe's on the other foot. We're sitting here and we're piling up bills. And we're swimming in debt. And we're like, how are we going to make things happen? And one day we went to the mailbox. There's a card. opened the card. Didn't have a return address. Wasn't signed. Just said, praying for you. And inside it was the exact amount we gave years earlier to this person that was we had all with. And immediately, God brought it back to both of us and said, God has paid us back for that act of obedience and faith that we did. And we were rejoicing with that. Well, the next day we went to the mailbox. Guess what? Another card. Same thing. Praying for you, no name, the same amount of money. And then now we're like, we're jumping around, you know, saying, he's doubled what we did. He's doubled it. And then we're like, the third day we're like, I wonder if, you know, could it happen? Went to the mailbox. Guess what? Another card. Same amount of money. Now we're like, we're shouting. We're like, woo, got triple. He is so good. He's tripled it. Let me tell you, 20 days. 20 days. Every day. Got a card. Said, praying for you. Cash money. He 20-fold repaid us. We don't know who it was. To this day, we don't know. And I share that to you to tell you, you do something for God, he's not going to be a debtor to you. He helps you. It's not always cash. It's not always money. He helps you. He gave us 20-fold what we did. He's done the same thing since we've stepped out of faith. I never would have dreamed what he's done. He's allowed us to buy a house. We bought a house in Alabama. Granted, a house in Alabama is like one-third or one-half, whatever the price of a house up here is. But we got a house. We're so thankful. And God has blessed our ministry in so many ways. So think about that. Think about that. Are you really living by faith? God wants you to exercise your faith. You know, you can't become a seventh-degree black belt if you don't ever practice and never do it. You can't be a man or a woman of faith if you don't ever do it. If you don't ever exercise. God tells you. He tells you to tithe. He says, test me. Give your tithe that I won't bless you back. And the problem is, we're not humble enough to even do it. Let's do it. Let's act like, let's follow the book. Let's follow the book. Let's pray. Father, so good. If we just do what you tell us to do, God, I pray that us speaking here today would just help this church in some way. God, we thank you for what we've seen here. Thank you for the love and the people here, God, how that they're stepping in to help, Lord. And I pray that they would step out even further. God, your word tells us to do a lot of things that we're not doing. And truth be known, we're just not doing it because we're selfish. God, help us to not be selfish. Help us to be humble and realize that you're in control of all things. God, you love us. You loved us so much that you sent your son. I mean, who does that? God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for everything you do for us. Pray that you bless this congregation. Bless Pastor Zach, Lord, Pastor Tony, and all those involved in this church. Lord, help them. Help them lead this flock, Lord, that we'll see great things. And we'll hear down the road, great things are done through Brunswick Baptist Church. That's our prayer, God. Pray you bless these folks. In Jesus' name, amen.